Good morning and a very warm welcome to this service of worship coming to you from the community of St Andrew's and St George's West Church in Edinburgh on this, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. You will find our order of service on our website and you're invited to join in the singing and responses in gold type. My name is Rosie McGee, I'm the minister and you'll hear several other voices this morning. Our reader is Sally Evans. The prayers of intercession are led by Kath Reid. Our vocal ensemble comprises Eleanor Cousins, Eleanor Wilson, Caitlin McGillivray, Drew Crichton and Andrew Carville. Piano accompaniment is by Eleanor Cousins. This service is produced by Andrew Carville. I invite you to join in our responsive call to worship. From hillside to lakeside, Jesus meets the needs of his friends, always surprising them and us with his words and actions, always responding to our needs, always there for us. We gather to give thanks and praise to the one who loves and cares for us. We offer ourselves and this time and invite Jesus to surprise us once more. We come here to meet Jesus, the one who is full of love. We come to hear his word, the word that is full of surprises. We come to grow in faith, the faith that is strengthened and renewed every day. And we worship God in the singing of our first hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Let us draw close to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you today as your people, thankful for your great and abiding love shown again and again down the ages. We praise you, faithful God, for mercies new with each morning. We come before you because you have called out to us, not because we are good or pure or holy, but because you are. You come to us, walking on the water, proclaiming peace when we feel anything but peaceful. Somewhere in our fear, in our finitude, we decided that we must be water walkers to earn your love. Forgive us when we step out of the boat to test ourselves, to test you, to shore up our faith, our egos, our fear. Forgive us, God, and renew us to be your people. Make us one and reassure us in our true identity as children of the one who is above all things. On this, the first day of a week that will see children and grandchildren return to school, calm anxieties and give wisdom to those entrusted with keeping children safe. In this, the week of International Youth Day, may the God of dreams and visions enable us to dream creatively and to hear the dreaming of others, young and old, in our community. May we be open to new ideas, dare to share visions, be encouraged to hope. Challenge us to make more safe places for each other, especially when we see other people scared. Make us bold in our loving, less afraid of failure, and more accepting of the dynamic dance of faith and doubt, wind and waves, life and eternity. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading is taken from the 105th Psalm, verses 1 to 6. O give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles and the judgments he has uttered. O offspring of his servant Abraham, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Our New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he, Jesus, dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
I came to Jesus as I was.
today's gospel reading, Jesus commands the disciples to head across the lake without him while he goes up the mountain to pray. Then a storm rises that threatens to engulf the disciples and the boat that they're in. And they spend an anxious night navigating the waves, and then in the early hours of the morning, Jesus strides across the water to meet them. Mistaking Jesus for a wave-walking ghost, the disciples grow even more alarmed. Jesus reassures them that it is he who is coming to them. His reassurance works perhaps too well, as Peter, brash and impulsive as ever, asks if he might join Jesus out on the water. Peter starts out confidently and then remembers the height of the waves and the depths of the sea and begins to sink. Jesus immediately reaches out and saves him. When I was 8, I went to explore the building site where my uncle was building a new house. Impetuous and clumsy, I ended up falling into a large hole that had been excavated. It was maybe all of 10 feet, though to me it felt like 30. Immediately, my uncle reached down and hauled me out. It was over in seconds, but I can still remember the relief that washed over me. Peter must have felt such relief as immediately Jesus reaches out to save him. Most reflections on this passage go something like this. If Peter had had more faith, he would have done a better job of walking on water. He shouldn't have been led by doubt. He should have kept his eyes on Jesus. It's sound advice, to be sure, but I don't know how helpful it is for those who feel they are floundering, those who have already tried really hard to keep their focus on Jesus and failed. Someone shouting, "Must do better," from the shore doesn't really help when you feel like you're sinking. Barbara Brown Taylor has a different interpretation. She says that the real point is that if Peter had had more faith, he might have done a better job not of walking on the water, but of staying in the boat. She points out that when Jesus identified himself to the disciples in the storm, it was only Peter who raised a question and required a sign. When Jesus said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid," only Peter responded, "If it is you, command me to come to you on the water." The other disciples apparently had enough faith to take Jesus at his word, stay in the boat, and keep rowing until Jesus could get to them. Now, I've always assumed that when Jesus says to Peter, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" he was saying, "Peter, if you'd had more faith, you could have kept walking on the water." It now occurs to me that he might have been saying, "Peter, if you'd had more faith, you would have been content to stay in the boat with the others where you belonged." This turns the spotlight away from Peter's brief stroll and big splash and puts the focus on a more important lesson, which is that Jesus' followers belong together with one another in the boat. Keep your eye on the boat through the reading. Jesus commands his disciples to get into the boat. Peter steps out of the boat and quickly gets in over his head. Then when Peter got back on the boat with Jesus, the wind ceased and those in the boat worshipped Jesus, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Once everyone was back in the boat, things were better. They were back where they belonged, with one another. It's no accident that an ancient symbol for the church is as the ship of faith. Life with God is life with one another in community. Ours is a faith lived out in the boat with one another. That's not to say it's always plain sailing. How can it be? We're each flawed and limited, and the church is made up of the people. There's a reason that there are lots of one another commands in the Bible. Love one another, forgive one another, bear with one another, pray for one another, confess your sins to one another, wait for one another, honour one another, speak the truth to one another. These commands are there not because they're easy or can be taken for granted, but because it's challenging and we have to be reminded, especially when the going gets rough. Lillian Daniels is an American pastor with a wry sense of humor, which means she gets away with saying things that ministers just aren't supposed to say out loud. She writes about the value of being shaped by community this way. On airplanes, I dread the conversation with the person who finds out I'm a minister and wants to use the flight time to explain to me that he is spiritual but not religious. Such a person will always share this as if it's some kind of daring insight unique to him, bold in its rebellion against the religious status quo. But there's nothing challenging about having deep thoughts all by oneself. What is interesting is doing this work in community, where other people might call you on stuff or, heaven forbid, disagree with you. Where life with God gets rich and provocative is when you dig deeply into a tradition that you did not invent all for yourself. So while I can't stop these people from talking to me on an aeroplane, can I switch seats now and sit next to someone who has been shaped by a mighty cloud of witnesses instead? Can I spend my time talking to someone brave enough to encounter God in a real human community? Because when this flight gets choppy, that's who I want by my side, holding my hand, saying a prayer and simply putting up with me, just like we try to do in church. The words of Lillian Daniel. During and after the storm of this pandemic, we need to be by each other's sides more than ever. We belong in the boat. Does it mean we will always look at things the same way as we enter uncharted territory? No. Does it mean we will always agree on everything? No. But it means that when we disagree, we do so from a position of trusting each other's good intentions and seeking to disagree well. That's when God's grace is made manifest. For as flawed and limited as the church is, the wonders of grace that happen in church don't happen anywhere else. It's in the church that our lives are formed and transformed for God. It's in the church that we are held in the arms of a prayerful community, what Stanley Hauerwas called a community capable of absorbing our grief. It happens here, in the church, in the boat, together where we belong, where no one has to bear their burdens alone, and there is always a hand reaching out to give a hand up. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. If we named our boat, our particular ship of faith, what better name than grace? God's grace abounds and is for us all. None of us have earned it. And ultimately, this is a story about grace and steadfast loving kindness, our faith, our calling, our momentary miracles amidst the chaos of life flows from grace, a sure sign of God at work. Let's keep our eyes peeled for grace at work in our midst. Let's share sightings. Can you hear God's call? All aboard. All aboard.
The Spirit is here. Lord, we bring to you our prayer for others. Jesus asks us to join him in the work he is already doing in your world. In a world which, for many, feels turbulent and uncertain, and when life feels like it might capsize, call your peace, O God, over the wind and waves. We pray for greater wisdom and responsibility in our stewardship of this earth and all that threatens it. May the world community answer your call to share resources to alleviate poverty, injustice and disease. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who travel with us in our family, among our friends and within this community. We pray for deepening awareness of our need for one another and of your image in the hearts of everyone we meet. We pray for those who feel isolated or lonely. May they experience a voice calling out to them and a hand reaching out to pull them up. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those injured in the devastating explosion in Beirut and for those who have lost loved ones. With the port destroyed, the food supply disrupted, may international aid be meaningful and reach those most in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for those whose lives are troubled by illness, grief, and those who care for them. We pray that your light will shine to bring them the assurance and hope they need. We ask for your comfort and peace to be with all who mourn. We remember at this time those known personally to us and those who have requested our prayers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we thank you for your promise to hear our prayers. Strengthen our faith in that promise so that our lives might proclaim your love, mercy and goodness. And when the wind and the waves get high and threaten to overwhelm us, help us remember Jesus' words. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Accept these prayers for the sake of your Son and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As you journey into the week ahead, hear these words of blessing. Jesus, you are the Son of God. Even the wind and the waves, the stormy seas are calmed by your Spirit. We might never walk on the surface of the water as if immune to life's troubles, yet neither do we need to sink. For you, Lord, are with us. Your hand is upon us. Your love is for us. Your commitment to us is endless. Thanks be to God and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit today and always. Amen.